once again, it's boss time. The Slammies have returned, and it's a dangerous, dangerous land of gang violence in WWE. This is the Dangerous Jobbers Podcast.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
I'm better than you.
My eyes are red out in the back smoking a joint with their gang.
You know it.
Lovely.
Gotta love it, right?
Yo, I am your boy, Stevie Jobber.
And it's your boy, Dangerous Duke.
And welcome back to the Dangerous Jobbers Podcast, putting wrestling over one podcast at a time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you're joining us for the first time, please like and subscribe. We'll get to more of that later. One of the things we do here, every pod, every regular pod, is the wrestler of the pod. And I got a special one from Progress because I'm signed up to their IG channel. This one is coming from the Progress World Champion Wrestler of the Pod, Kid Lakos. I want to say this right. Is it Lakos? Is it Lakos? Have you heard how it's correctly? I feel like it's one of those things where depending on where you're from, you say it.
Yeah. Right.
Either way, you probably have already heard about him. But he's the current Progress World Champion, and he will be at Penn's Landing on the 5th in Philly. So if you're a fan of Progress Wrestling or you just want something to do because you either couldn't make Mania or you got a free day and you're looking for something to do, go down to Penn's Landing where you can see the Progress World Champion and Wrestler of the Pod.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. So we figured out a pretty good routine for this pod. I'm going to start us off, and then Duke will kind of finish up whatever company we're talking about. Starting, of course, with AEW because it's WrestleMania season, so we end on WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I got a few things. A lot of things happen in AEW. They've been on the upswing in WrestleMania season, but I got three main things to talk about. And then you guys, if you feel like one of the things we left out are big, put it in the comment section.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I have is Ospreay beating Eddie Kingston, who, of course, was the Triple Crown champion, was the Continental champion for AEW. He goes down, he loses that championship to Will Ospreay on what I believe is Will's second or third week.
Yes, I think it's week three.
Disappointing news, but understandably one of those things that you just feel like was going to happen. And I'll kind of leave it there. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, the opposite. I don't really see it as disappointing. I think it's something that needed to happen, and it was entertaining. It was great. When you have a guy the caliber of Ospreay, you can't not kind of like put the rocket ship on him right away.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody of that caliber with that ability, no offense to Eddie Kingston, but he's leaps and bounds above Eddie Kingston. Not to say Eddie hasn't been great, but Ospreay is leaps and bounds above Kingston, and there's no denying it. So you kind of needed to put the title on him in some capacity, whatever title it may be.
I believe it may just be my bias for Eddie.
Yeah, I mean, but that's okay.
You know, him being Triple Crown. I mean, and not that he hasn't held it for a long enough time to kind of cement what he was trying to do, being the Triple Crown champion for the time that he was. But yeah, I do understand it's one of those things that to me just had to happen because Ospreay was here. He was on fire right away, and clearly, it didn't seem like they had plans for him. So,
yeah,
the best thing you can do at that point is kind of give him a title to be a brand ambassador of, which kind of was what Eddie was doing.
Exactly.
And Will can just do that to a higher level. So it just made sense that this had to happen. But I mean, amazing match for those two, and it's just something to keep track of. Eddie still has the ROH World Championship, which he's defending against Mark Briscoe. Very soon.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped a really dope promo on that. So, I mean, Eddie still has things to move on to. Do I think they'll double back? Maybe, but I don't think that's going to result in Eddie winning it back. I think this is probably where that title is going to sit for the next few months.
Yeah, more than likely.
At least until they find what they're doing with Ospreay. Another title change. Colt, Edge, Adam Copeland won the I Quit match against Christian for the TBS Championship. They had a hockey fight. It was very entertaining.
Very Canadian.
Very Canadian, of course. And, I mean, I don't have much to say. How do you feel about Cope winning a TBS championship?
As crazy as it may sound, I'm kind of indifferent on. Like, I liked what Christian was doing. But again, you're having an I Quit match. You're not going to make Edge lose the I Quit match. It's, you know, you almost never have the face lose an I Quit match. Anytime an I Quit match happens, the heel always loses. Unless you're Rey Mysterio. So,
or Edge against the Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah, true. Or Edge against the Judgment Day. So maybe this was his get back. He said, I'm losing one. I'm not losing both.
I kind of thought that's what it was.
But, I mean, hey, it's still an entertaining match. They did great. I love the hockey fight. It was entertaining as hell. So let's see what Edge can do with the TBS title.
I mean,
or the TNT title.
If there's any launching pad, oh, TNT title. If there's any launching pad for Adam into the new landscape, Christian is the perfect guy to get that off from. I just hope that it survives once they move away from Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
I think that'd be my only worry, because Adam did so good coming in because he had such a great base off of Christian to begin with.
Yeah, that's going to be the tricky part.
Yeah, now that he's, well, whenever, I don't know for sure that he's off of Christian yet, but once that time comes, we just got to see if Edge can perform creatively on his own, or, you know, find multiple dance partners to continue this level of relevancy with, is the trouble of AEW.
You know what I would say the best thing for him to do would be? I would say have him hold the title for a little bit, like not a super lengthy amount of time, but like a decent amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then just have him kind of do what John did with the last US title run. Mm-hmm. When he was doing like the open challenges and stuff like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be the open challenge. But give him the younger guys, that way he can, you know, put on a great match with them.
Put him in that open challenge spot where he can just evolve with the rest of the roster.
He can put them over while still winning, make them look good. And then when the time comes, you have that big young cat just come in there and kind of destroy him for the title.
I like that. I like him at a Daniel Bryan, John Cena medium.
Yeah, like something like that. Like a Daniel Bryan Cena medium would be the perfect way to put it. And then give him a good run with certain guys. You know, your Daniel Garcia's, your Ricky Starks's, your whoever. And then, I don't know, let's say have him lose at the Hook.
That would actually be very good.
They yeah, give him
good stuff.
Give him like a good 4 month run just putting guys over, and then him and Hook. Mwah, perfect. Perfect combo right there.
I'm waiting to elevate.
Exactly. See?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great fantasy booking. I couldn't have put it better. The last thing I had on my bullet point for AEW was Mercedes Moné. I feel like we never got a chance to give a full reaction, our thoughts. They're not doing a whole lot. She's involved with Willow, who was previously doing nothing with Chris Statt and them. So now it seems like that's where Monet's gonna start. How do you feel about Monet's comeback? How do you feel about where they kind of put her so early? Is it a good fit? Will she be a good fit? Like, what's your general reaction? I feel like we never really got to
now
hear and talk about it.
I might be in the minority on this, but was AEW the place for her to go? Sure. Was it predictable? Yes, very. But with that being said, I don't know if it's because it was just so predictable, but it's not hitting for me. I feel like maybe I should give it a couple more weeks and see how it goes. But as of now, within the first, 2 weeks it's been, not hitting for me. I don't know if it's just because it was, again, predictable or just it fell flat, but it's not hitting. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. I believe that they'll probably arrive somewhere with it, but it's like most things that are new in AEW are kind of, the first weeks are actually really, really shaky as far as how well they're going to mesh into the landscape, because they only really have maybe 4 weeks of what they're going to do panned out, I feel like. And it feels like they're, every week they're adjusting differently somehow. And by the time they work the kinks out, that's just kind of where you are, whether it was where you planned to be or not.
Which is why I feel so bad judging it as harshly as I am, like this early in its infancy. But it's still like there's certain people that have come in and have, and it's hit a lot better. Like Edge came in, it hit. Exactly. Adam Cole came in, it hit. Samoa Joe came in, and it hit. Now, is Mercedes Moné to the stature of those people?
Some would argue.
Some would argue, exactly. So I feel like maybe it should have hit more. But again, maybe I'm too harsh judging it this early in its infancy. So we'll see how it goes in the coming weeks, but that's where I stand on it for now.
I feel like there's a separate pile we can get into where we can dig into that. Where like I feel like there's some things we feel in our spirits as fans that we just kind of don't talk about.
Yeah.
And that some would argue thing, there's something to get out of that.
Some would argue.
But to end off the AEW news, I know you had news about somebody who's been apparently wiped from the system.
Yeah, so upon my research and my gathering of information, I went across the AEW website and just looking through the merch, you know, WrestleMania season's coming up. Maybe I wanted to be a shock to the system, get an AEW shirt. And lo and behold, there's no MJF merch. So then I do some more digging. I'm like, all right, this can't be, you know, this can't be a coincidence. Go to the old Google machine, type in MJF, and sure enough, literally an hour later, or it says an hour ago, an article, MJF merchandise wiped from AEW store. And it just goes into great lengths how MJF's wiped from the website as a talent. He's wiped all his merch off. And a lot of people are speculating, especially around WrestleMania season, you know, AEW doesn't really have a the 90-day no-compete clause? They really don't have that kind of thing. So a lot of people are speculating, could we get MJF at some point within this Mania season, whether it's, you know, at Mania or the day after? A lot of people are speculating. So I just want to get your thoughts on it. What do you think?
Do you think MJF is going to be...
Like, do you think it's a work by AEW, or do you think, you know, there's something to read between the lines on here?
No, I think they like money too much for it to be a work. I think he's gone. I think they've reached some quiet goodbye agreement to where I agree not to blow it up. If you don't touch it, I won't touch it. And we will just mutually wait till it's a good time and the rest of this runs out, and I'll take the stock that I had the last time you saw me, and I'll use that to go somewhere else.
So kind of like a quiet divorce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think he went away during the negotiation time. That way they didn't run into the same thing they ran into last year, where you weren't really sure what was going to happen and stunts were being pulled as contracts were being negotiated. Now we have this period of time where whatever disagreement we have doesn't affect TV at all. So if I don't resign, I think that might be what happened. I think he might have just not resigned. And on the acknowledgement that he didn't resign, they probably just wiped the system. Because I would imagine if they had negotiated and he had re-signed it, then his merch would just stay up.
Yeah.
Until he returns, and he still would just be gone. But if he was leaving, you would take your merch with you.
Yeah, true. And it's weird, because for some reason, around this time is when AEW does a lot of renegotiating with people. Something about Mania season. Something about Mania season, because they're renegotiating with Matt right now. So a lot of lot of renegotiations happen in April and March.
So maybe that's just what it is. Maybe he decided to leave. There's a lot of speculation, man. There's a lot of things that are like outside forces that could or could not affect some of the big plays and stories going on.
And money talks at the end of the day.
It's tis the season. Tis the season. I say it every day now. It's tis the season.
Yes, sir.
Shit is just, we're past 15 minutes in. Shit is just, it's up. It's up. You heard it, Kendrick. It's up.
It's up.
Moving on to WWE news. I have a few things to rattle off as the tis the season. Just a couple bullet points. And then I think the bigger news, or some of the more cultural topics, I'm going to leave to Duke. But just to get through the plot points of news through the WWE week, not counting NXT, Chad Gable and Sami Zayn are having this weird sort of thing. So Sami is going to WrestleMania, but there's this fun exchange with Chad. Not fun, at least not for Sami. Exchange with Chad that he had backstage, where Chad just, he just feels a lot. He just got a chip, man. He's got a serious chip on his shoulder. He didn't appreciate losing. He didn't appreciate really anything that Sami was saying to him in the moment while he was trying to console him during his loss. He really just don't believe in Sami at all. Like, he's offended.
None of us do.
He went up to Sami and he was like, you can't beat him. And I think that's what bothers me. I think he said that's what really bothers me is I know you can't beat him. And I was like, oh, snap, Chad. Chad is
in his bag.
Yeah, he's on demon time. Like, yeah, except for Chad. Literally. So, yo, Chad, I hope something happens, man. I hope it works out for you, bro. Like,
look,
the way you moving after this second loss, I feel you, bro. I'd be moving on demon time myself, Chad.
Yeah, because that's honestly what I was hoping came out of this. Like, all right, we're not getting Chad at Mania with Gunther. You got to do something with the man. Like, give him a chip on his shoulder. Make him angry. Like, make him pissed. And he did it. After he cut that promo on Sami, I was like, hold on. We really did make a mistake.
Yeah, I like the energy he's moving around with now.
He should have took this energy. He should have took this and used it with Gunther. If we would have got
that's why I know it's going to be different. You got to know it's going to be different the third time.
Yes.
I mean, that second time around, right? Second time
around? Yeah, the second time around.
Yeah, that second time around, it's going to be a different fight. and I'm excited for it. But for now, yeah, nobody believes in Sammy. And it's very weird. We're in a very weird place than we were last year. But there's we definitely expect Sammy to go down. So I'm hoping Sammy goes down so Chad can step up.
Mm-hmm.
But just some intriguing things going on. Off of that, Becky beats Nia. It is a point that happened. It is a thing we have to talk about. So I have to bring it up.
Here we go.
Becky beats Nia. It sucks. I don't really have any other point on that except for it sucks. I mean, Nia looks strong, but how many times are we going to look strong losing?
How many times are we going to keep peddling the same old shit and saying it's something new?
Like, we done pitched her as this monster. We done brought her all the way back to what she's supposed to be, and now she's a stepping stone again. And I'm really kind of feeling away about it because she just beat Becky. Yes. So now what are we saying? Becky and her equal on any given night? All right, well then, next, this can't be the end then. You tie in this web where it's like, if you're going to keep having Nia be as good as she is and having her lose, then at some point you can't even take her out the story. Like, you got to remember, like, you making the wins that do happen matter.
Yeah, but I'm just tired of the same old thing. Like, I can't stand to see another Becky and Nia match. Like, I get it. You got a good story. Not even a good story. You have a built-in story from 5 years ago. Now she's back, so now you can run it the right way. But, like, how many times are you going to give us the same old shit and tell us it's brand new?
Hmm. Yeah, I feel that, too. But I don't know. I'm over it. I'm over Nia being used as a stepping stone for people I feel like she should be ahead of.
And I'll be honest, to a degree, so am I. And I'm not the biggest Nia fan in the world at all, by any stretch. Mm-hmm. And I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, coming from you,
that's saying something.
So it's just weird. The last thing from Raw I had was probably the most enticing thing for me is, of course, the Bloodline aspect of the night. Jimmy and Jay faced off, had words for the first time. Jimmy came a solo, but it was on a, you know, and they cut what I felt like was a great promo.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of addressing their stances. Jay came at Jimmy first, I believe. Just to put it very, I'm gonna sound real ghetto for a second. To put it in like plain terms, he came to him like, yo, it's just disrespectful that you would treat me like this.
Mm-hmm.
After all the times you're supposed to be there for me and whatever, and you left me. And Jimmy came back with, you left me, bro. Like, I don't know how you remember it, but I remember always stepping up for you.
Mm-hmm.
I helped you do this. I helped you do that. I helped you when you wanted to get out the Bloodline. That was your idea. All the stuff that you wanted to do, I helped you do, and then you left me.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do? You went off on one tag titles without me.
And he was very offended by the fact that you not only did he leave, he left, became tag champs with someone else. And it does, because everything matters, if you remember the press conference that everybody loved when they won the belts and they was drunk at the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And he was big up in Cody and they looked so happy together, and you know, Yeet. You never stopped to think when Yeet became so huge, this whole thing that they on.
Ooh.
The origin of how Yeet became so big for Jay was, mm-hmm, that press conference where you standing there with someone else as your tag partner, cheesing like this is the happiest moment of your life. And we don't stop to think in that moment that Jimmy was probably looking at that like, damn, word? That's how you feel? And it makes sense that after that championship, Jimmy would make it his mission that you don't win no more gold without me.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't tend to think about the origin of that, but he brought it in that moment to be like, all of this correlates.
We might need to do a I disagree on
who really was the bad guy. We can get something out of that. We can get something out of that. We'll find an officiator. We could definitely do that one.
I might have to defend Jimmy on that one.
I don't know. I'll take Jay. We could. We gonna get to it. But
that's a bad guy. I don't mind defending. Yeah, ironically,
yeah. I don't mind taking either side on that. There's an argument to be made. There's a lot of stuff going on in the bloodline, man. One of the best stories.
Definitely was.
So the Usos faced off, and they had these war words, and it did kind of put us in this position, where like from either side, you're like, oh, that's true. That's true.
An argument could be made.
We can get to it another time. But I love when they create these moments, especially in the Bloodline stories, where anybody could be right at any given time. But we about to fight about it.
Exactly. So we gonna settle it how family settles it.
We gonna settle it how family settle it on the biggest stage. You know what I'm saying? So it felt good to get that first inkling of story that was just them. Mm-hmm. And to know that it was going to be, I hope it continues to run like that. I mean, even though we'll get to how the lanes intertwine later.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they keep their story between them. You know what I'm saying? They have done that this far. I hope they continue to do that.
I was going to say, speaking of people's stories being their stories, keeping it kind of bloodline-ish, I guess, because this guy's involved in it now.
Mm-hmm.
With Seth being involved in this, he's also kind of got his own story going on, but it's not even a story, I guess, because Drew's kind of just telling his own story right now.
If he's willing to participate in that story.
Yeah, like Seth isn't even participating in his own story. He's kind of just letting Drew run a one-man show.
Yeah, and I feel
like it's kind of on the back burner of WrestleMania in general.
I was going to say, I wonder if there's, for anybody that is probably a couple years older than us or a couple years younger than us, I would love to know what their opinion is from their standpoint on this whole thing as a wrestling fan. Because from our age, which is either in or right outside the target demographic, looking at it from our perspective, it's like he's paying so little attention to this that he must be losing this belt at WrestleMania.
Right.
And I wonder if it comes across that clear to those younger and older than us that he's making this vital mistake of just underestimating Drew. Like, leaving him in the cold would suck if it wasn't done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we felt like this was handled sloppily, I would feel different about it. I would feel like I don't know who's going to win, but they're not showing it enough attention. But this time, because everything is intentional, it's like, no, they're intentionally making him not care about this story that he really should be concerned about. So he must be losing.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I wonder if somebody younger than us is looking at it like Drew doesn't stand a chance because Seth is not paying any attention to him. Like, I wonder if the game is working on any other level.
Yeah, it's so
not working for us.
Yeah, it's not. And we figure we've watched a long time, so we feel like we have a good idea. But like you said, if there's somebody older than us who's been watching longer than us, or there's somebody younger than us who hasn't been, please let us know what you think, because that's where we stand on this.
It almost feels too straightforward, if I can say that.
Yeah.
It feels like the writing is so on the wall, something else has to be up.
Yes.
So maybe there's somebody with a different perspective that doesn't feel the way that we feel that can give us a new angle on how this maybe isn't as drawn out as we think it is.
Yeah, and if so, please drop it in the comments, hit us up, DM us, let us know, because this is a, we are confusion right now.
And as I said earlier, just to get off the gang wars thing, Dom was over on SmackDown after this weird loss to Gunther that resulted in him running away from Kathy Kelly on Monday Night Raw. He showed up on SmackDown later at what I thought was the culmination of Santos versus Rey. I was almost highly disappointed that this is really where they were going to end it. But, I mean, sometimes I fall for it. Dom shows up and cost Rey the victory. Shows up in the Rey Mysterio mask. I love to see Dom in the Rey Mysterio mask. I just do. But he cost Rey the match. And he's aligned himself with Legado del Fantasma. I don't know if this is Dom's way back into Mania. I feel like he must be in Mania in some significant way. He's had the most matches all in all of last year. Next to Cody Rhodes, I believe.
Yes.
I think it's just him and Cody with the most matches.
Yes, it's him, Cody, and Jay, I believe.
Jay. So I feel like putting that much time in, he has to have some spot on the card. I just am not sure what it is. So maybe this ties into how Dom makes it back to Mania. But there's definitely a lot of gang wars happening because on that side, Bayley's now getting her troops. She got Trinity and Bianca unwillingly on Friday. So damage control is up. Legado, LWO, and then Cody.
It's a good time for tag teams and factions.
They're clicking up. Everybody's out here clicking up, man. So I just wanted to get that off. There looks like they're still starting some stories this close to Mania, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I like that you brought up tag teams and factions, because this kind of actually tied into my next nugget perfectly. Mm-hmm. So this past Monday on Raw, they've been having these tag team eliminator matches, I guess, to get into the ladder gauntlet at Mania.
Which one might be interesting?
Definitely going to be interesting, considering all the teams right now are good guys. But we still have two teams left to go in. But one of the teams who did make it in was DIY in a match they had on Raw with the Creed Brothers, which I have to just go on the record right now. That was the best tag team match I've seen on a Monday Night Raw in the last few years, bar none. Mm-hmm. It was a simple match, but that match was executed to the greatest degree. I feel like DIY never split them up again. I don't even want them to be singles stars. I want them to be a tag team. Mm-hmm. Stay a tag team, and the Creed Brothers are the future. Mm-hmm. They are going to be one of the better tag teams WWE has for the next 10 years if booked properly and booked correctly.
I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree that the Creed Brothers are the future. I don't know that I agree with maybe never breaking DIY up again.
At least not for a while.
Is open,
when the field is open. At least not for a while.
Not for a while. When the field is open and there seems like, you know, when that, when they've reached that weird time where there's a slew of injuries and there's just spots open for people to excel and, you know, prove who they are, maybe it'll be a perfect chance moment to split them up and do something crazy. But I do agree that they need to be a tag team again for a while because they're really good at it. And that match was really good. It felt
it was
old school NXT takeover tag team spotlight kind of match.
That was an NXT tag team match right there. And for two teams that didn't compete against each other in NXT to do that, was very entertaining. To have that much chemistry right out the gate, I could have watched that. I could watch that match a million times over and not be bored by it.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job.
Yeah, so kudos to DIY and the Creed brothers. Moving on to SmackDown, I do have something I want to touch on, and that is Jade Cargill, them officially announcing she's a SmackDown superstar. What do we think? Good fit, bad fit, perfect spot? What plans do you see for Jade Cargill going forward now that she's officially SmackDown?
I think it's funny how the tides have turned. It's proved to me that Triple H is kind of hellbound on doing everything opposite of Vince McMahon. Because in the past, someone might say that is like a Raw style sweep of high level talent.
Mm-hmm.
To acquire Braun Breaker, Jade Cargill, and Tiffany Stratton for SmackDown. But in this new era, SmackDown is the A show.
Right.
So,
it only makes
sense now. Now, it only makes sense that we get the best talent. Because we're the A show now.
Yeah.
It's like Triple H even went so far to say that I'm going to make his show the B show now, just to distance myself. That'll be like the clear distinction of when things changed and Vince was out of there, because SmackDown is the A show now.
Damn, you know what I just realized now that you say that? Raw is the longest running weekly episodic television show, as they call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the longest running thing on cable.
Yeah.
What happens to Monday Night Raw next year?
Comes off cable.
They go to Netflix. No longer on cable.
Mm-hmm.
So then once that happens, what's the next longest running weekly episodic television show?
Well, I would imagine it'd be SmackDown.
It is exactly that. It is SmackDown.
That's quite interesting.
So the fact that you said he's doing everything opposite of Vince and taking Vince's show and making it the B show, that shows, because SmackDown's not going to Netflix. SmackDown's staying right where it's at.
Mm.
SmackDown might even go to the USA Network. You don't know.
Nobody knows.
It's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Something that I also find interesting, this will be the last thing I touch on. Ronda Rousey.
Mm.
I'm sure people have seen it. We all know it. Wrestlers are writing books nowadays. It's no secret. You got Jericho. You have Batista. Becky Lynch just wrote a book. Kind of went viral for her picture she included in the book. Ronda is also going viral for her takes in the book. And one of those takes was she had to retire from WWE because she had too many concussions and she didn't like the toxic work environment Vince McMahon brought in. She didn't like his energy. She didn't like how he carried out business. And then another thing, she said she didn't like bra and panties matches. So
my school of her, but okay.
Yeah. So my thing was, I agree with her, you know, Vince McMahon, obviously everybody knows he's having a toxic environment. He's going through a lot of stuff, allegations, this, that, and the other. But then it didn't make sense that she said she didn't like bra and panties matches, because were you ever in one? Were you a wrestling fan when they were around? So why even include that?
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I do feel like maybe she took a second in editing when all that stuff was coming out to be like, it'd be great to throw some shots in here for the book.
Yeah.
Attacking Vince. Because I don't know if that actually was what was going on, but
like, I don't...
And I don't put it against her. I'm sure there were some things that she had heard from whoever. I mean, Shane is there, so I mean,
yeah. So
I don't know.
You still have friends there. So why even rip it in the first place? Like, you want to rip Vince, okay, that's one thing. But then you also got to rip how it's such a bad place to work. You didn't really enjoy your time there. It was a toxic environment, this, that, and the other. But
that's not to say that there won't be people that agree with you. The many allegations is an example anyway. But
could it also be that maybe she has sour grapes because they viewed people as more important and more vital to the success of the company than her? Like, maybe they saw Charlotte as a bigger asset or Rhea as a bigger asset than a Ronda Rousey? And could it just be sour grapes?
It could be an ego thing. I think it could also be an ego thing. At the same time, I feel like it's not something that some sort of meeting couldn't fix. Like,
right.
I'm sure she knows that while she took the time to bash Vince, that the company is no longer like that.
Yeah.
At least to our knowledge now.
Yeah, like, so nobody's going to talk about how horrible the 76ers were in the 2000s when you're in the 2020s.
Right. Unless you're, you know, stuck in the past.
Yeah. So I feel like there was just no point for it.
Yeah, it feels like it was just an opportunity to maybe get some extra sales by taking the opportunity to bash Vince. And I mean, whether she had it, and honestly, I have too much. I don't know if this is a backhanded compliment, but I almost have too much expectation for Ronda to be somebody to just stick it out if she knew those things were currently occurring while she was there.
Like there's better ways to go about getting sales.
Like, I feel like you wouldn't have stuck around if that was a thing. Like, I feel like you would have made too much money to stand for that.
Yeah.
Like, you probably would have pulled a Sasha Banks before if you had seen.
Exactly. Like, Sasha didn't even go through that much bashing of the WWE. She just said she didn't like what was going on, so she took her ball and she went home. She ain't throw no shade. She ain't throw nobody under the bus or anything like that. She just said she didn't like how she was being treated, so she's out.
So.
But, I mean, you know.
Kudos to her. Prepare for the apocalypse.
Yeah, right. But you know what? I can't end it on a sour note. We got to end it on a good note.
Yeah.
So you know what? In the midst of this WrestleMania season, they're doing so many great things. I don't know if this is a great thing for you, but it always is for me. The Slammies are coming back, and yeah, I'm honestly excited for it. Ironically enough, I'm sorry. I love the Slammies.
There's something festive about it. And I think rolling it around, maybe it's rolling it around Mania season. But there's something about the Slammies that are like, I don't know, just festive. You just want to see it.
And there's nothing more festive than the person they got to be the host for the Slammies. The one and the only Big E and Kathy Kelly.
Oh, snap. Not bad.
Man, I like seeing, man. I'm glad we're getting Big E back. Even if it's not in the ring, just seeing him as a host, yeah. I think it's going to be funny.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to be in his Steve Harvey bag a little bit. He's going to be telling nothing but jokes.
I think that's a good host, man. I think they need to do that more often. Just find guys that can actually be hosts start treating him more like an actual Grammy.
Yeah. And some of the categories and nominees aren't too bad. Like, they got Entrance of the Year and Dom's.
I voted.
Dom's,
yeah.
Yeah, Dom's Entrance made it on there. Is that what you voted for?
Of course.
Okay. Of course, man. And then they got Superstar of the Year, Female Superstar of the Year. Like, they got a lot of good categories.
Yeah, I enjoy the Slammies. I definitely voted faster than probably even I expected to. But I was like, oh, the Slammies are up. Oh, this is the link to vote. Oh, you want to? And then it was just voting.
I have not voted. So after this episode, after this episode, once this, by the time this airs, I will have voted.
All right.
That's what matters. By the time this airs, you only get one shot. Can't miss your chance to go. Opportunity is once in a lifetime.
I knew it.
But yeah, I think that's it for this week. I think it's that time we get into the shout outs.
All right. I'll knock out my figure four because it's pretty easy.
Sounds good.
Nobody you haven't heard from before if you're an avid listener. Doghouse Gaming, 2023's video game store of the year. Kev Brew, comedian and wrestling. What do I want to say? Social personality? I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Go check out Kev Brew on TikTok. He's a comedian that also talks about wrestling. Very funny guy. Ruthless Talk Podcast. Go check them out on TikTok, Twitter. And last but not least, I saw him in a clip that Mrs. Jobber showed me and was like, oh, I recognize that guy. Shout out to Rocket, who goes by Sean Smith on Instagram, but he's a pro wrestler, an indie wrestler that's doing just tremendous things. Very acrobatic, very risk-taking, very, I want to say, ECW version of the Rascals, maybe, if you're looking at a general fighting style.
Mm-hmm.
Just very entertaining. So go check it. Shout out to Rocket. That'll be my final shout out. That's my figure four.
Awesome. All right. So I guess I'll throw mine in there. First things first, as always, we're going to shout out the RK family, RK Pop. Always dropping wrestling content on YouTube every night, usually. Him playing 2K, doing some dope stuff. Go check him out if you haven't. Mr. Awesome as well. Wrestling collector. Great wrestling content creator. You could check him out on YouTube if you haven't. And then on TikTok and Instagram, The Jordan Wrestling, fellow Philadelphia native, will be at WrestleMania. Always has pretty fun TikToks and everything else like that, wrestling related. So go check him out if you haven't. And then last but not least, just a little FYI out there. I still haven't seen Finn, so I'm kind of looking for him. So Finn, where have you been? Like, come on, come back home, man. But that's my shout outs for this week.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dangerous Jobbers Podcast. Y'all know the platforms y'all can find us on. X, formerly known as Twitter. We got Instagram, and then we got TikTok over there on Stevie's side. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts. And last but not least, make sure you check out DangerousJobbersWebsite.com because there's some cool stuff there too. But that's it for this week. Make sure you guys stay up. Make sure you guys stay blessed. And as always, stay dangerous.
People have been asking.